Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
What's going down? Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon without any ads or on the main feed where you get a few ads. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin Finn. We're in WrestleMania season. It's just WrestleMania all over the place.
Well, it is. It's just WrestleMania galore. And we can't wait, Kenny, can we?
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting few weeks. But let's just kick off with SmackDown last Friday in Memphis. We had the Rock concert. And The Rock brought back his Hollywood rock theme tune.
Yeah,
he had some musicians with him, and he basically went through this song where he made fun of Cody, made fun of Seth. There was even a Stardust image on the screen. And then after the song, he sort of gets serious and cuts a promo to Cody's mum, talking about how, you know, she's not going to get the belt and that, you know, he's going to give her his belt. And at the end, he does this kind of big promo to her. And he said, you know, the belt, my belt's going to have all your son's blood on it. And you'd be crying just like your son. And I'll give the belt to you and I'll whisper in your ear. And then he does the line from Moana. What can I say except you're welcome? I mean, what a promo. The Rock is just on a different level to everybody. And I mean, he nailed this again.
Yeah, I mean, he was all over the emotional map, wasn't it, this? Because he started off as a 100% babyface, didn't he? I started my career here in Memphis. Every Saturday morning on Channel 5, which was true, after he'd been signed, after his tryout matches. And he was sent down there to, you know, learn the biz. And he said I was called Flex Cavana. It's like, I don't know what I was thinking. So it sounds like he came up with that name. One thing that did amuse me when he was out there, and Rock didn't really seem to know how to react to this, was there was a whoop that trick chant, wasn't there? And there was one later on the show as well during the Bayley versus Dakota Kai match.
Yeah.
And I think it was it Bad News? Well, Corey Graves, one of the commentators, said, God, Trick Williams would be like, just can't believe, I think it was Bad News Barrett actually, or Wade Barrett saying that, I can't believe it, that's another chant for Trick Williams. So I mean, that was quite something. So yeah, Rock was there as a face, and then he started on the song in which he trashed Cody and Seth Rollins, and not Cody for crying on Raw. said he was going to whoop him with the bell. I mean, this is kind of a... I mean, we know, don't we, Kenny, that the heels are winning on night one. We know that, don't we?
100%.
Yeah, the villains are winning on night one. To stack the odds against the faces on night two, it's just simple storytelling. And also it means, you know, that Rock can use that belt. And, like, you've got to imagine that Cody's mother's going to be somehow involved in this match. She'll be there at ringside. Will she get to slap the Rock, do you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You're going to have that happen.
So I imagine that Rock will be there, you know, smashing Cody with a belt. Cody will be selling it like, you know, the agonizing pain. And then he'll probably pass the belt to Cody's mother at that point. She'll slap the Rock and Rock will sell it. And then Cody will make his big comeback. Something like that's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think... it's smart to bring in kind of, you know, Cody's mum and bring all these kind of elements into it. Do you know, I don't know if you noticed this, but so you actually ended up being mentioned on Twitter the other day by Ian Drew Dice Clay because there was a, you know, I know I shouldn't mention his name a lot here, but Vince Russo had some feedback about Cody Rhodes and the fact that he cries too much, according to Big Vince.
Yeah.
Vince says, and that, you know, Cody just cries too much and da-da-da-da-da. But then Ian Drew Dice Clay retweeted Vince's criticism of Cody Rhodes and said, Vince Russo, who couldn't stay in a Zoom call with Finn Martin last year without getting upset and turning it off, has decided... that Cody cries too much. If there's one guy in wrestling desperate for therapy, it's the guy who still thinks it's 1998. So yeah, you ended up...
fantastic. I didn't know that. I didn't know that, by the way. I was just kind of, you know, away from everything over the weekend. So I was had nothing to do with wrestling and watch any over the weekend or anything. So that's really funny. And I don't know why, but I was thinking about that interview again earlier today, and I have no idea why I was thinking about it. I don't spend time thinking about it normally, and I was just, I'm still amazed that it headed in the direction that it did. I still can't quite believe that happened. I think what I was thinking to myself was, did that really happen? Did he really behave like that? And did we just spend 75% or 8% of the interview just arguing? And yes, we did. I mean, in some ways, it was not obviously in some ways, it was the worst interview I've ever done. But in other ways, it was sort of the best as well.
I mean, the thing is, the fact that he is still making all these kind of constant dumb comments just kind of, you know, proves the point of, love to shout, can't take it. But anyway, let's move on. So we had that really hot opening segment, all that good stuff to build us to the big tag match at WrestleMania. And then we had some qualifiers for the WrestleMania Tag Team Ladder Match. We had Angel and Umberto defeating the LWO. They got 9.5 minutes here. So they are the people who qualify. I really had thought that we were going to... I'm assuming that somehow... Because Angel and Umberto are not automatically in the match. People on Raw are automatically the match. And I feel like Angel and Umberto will not be in the tag ladder match because I assume we're going to get a big Rey Mysterio and LWO against Santos and his crew match at WrestleMania. That would be what I would think would happen.
Yeah, I would think so because, you know, later on the show we had, you know, Rey Mysterio ended up issuing the challenge to Santos for a match next week and Santos didn't answer the challenge, but we imagine there'll be some interaction. But I can't imagine they're going to give us the finish in the first match. I'm sure that's going to lead to some WrestleMania multi-man match for sure. Yeah.
We also had Randy Orton facing Grayson Waller, but this had been prefaced with Logan Paul trying to speak to Nick Aldis and saying, you know, what's the punishment for Orton going to be? And Nick said, well, there's not going to be a punishment, but you know, if you want an apology from him, go get it. Go get one from Randy Orton. And then Logan Paul said, well, I should expect that you couldn't get the job done because you can't even find me a WrestleMania opponent. And then we get the Orton-Waller match. Of course, Orton wins in the end. And post-match, as Orton is getting beat up by Logan Paul and the heels. Kevin Owens runs out to equal the numbers, and Theory takes a stunner into an RKO combo. And then Nick Aldis comes out and said, you know, Logan, how did your apology go? Did you get it from Randy? Well, never mind. I'm just out here to let you know who your opponent is. Sorry, your opponent's at WrestleMania, and announces the triple threat match that we all saw coming. But I thought this was a fun setup to get where they need to go.
Yeah, definitely. We should mention also, prior to after Orton was being beaten down by Waller and Theory, and Logan Paul was about to nail him, and then Kevin Owens came out, there was almost a moment there. Well, there was a moment actually where Orton went for the RKO on Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens blocked it. And like Orton was like, oh, sorry, you know, I thought you were someone else. So there's, you know, a little bit of tension there. But at the end, Owens and Orton were both elated that they'd been booked in this match with Logan Paul in Triple Threat. And Logan Paul was like, he was just like aghast. I can't believe it. So, you know, his arrogance backfired on him. The heel got his comeuppance, as a heel always should in the end. But I'm predicting right now, Kenny, that Logan Paul's going to retain that belt. I don't think he's losing that US title at WrestleMania. What do you think?
You know, I think you're right. I don't think Orton needs it. I don't think Owens is going to get it. I think you're right. I think Logan Paul is going to keep that belt. And I think maybe LA Knight might go after it after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He disposes of AJ Styles.
Yeah, I think Paul's going to hold the belt until SummerSlam, because he was the one who announced that SummerSlam's going to be in Cleveland Brown Stadium, wasn't he?
Yes.
You know, he was the one who had the honour of announcing that. So I think he's still going to be US champ when we get to SummerSlam. Maybe he'll drop the belt there, but he'll definitely go into that show as US champ. That's my prediction anyway.
I can see that happening for sure. We also on SmackDown had the New Catch Republic beating Pretty Deadly in a qualifier match. So I assume it's going to be the New Catch Republic against Angel and Umberto this Friday, and then New Catch Republic will get in the match.
I don't understand why they have to win two matches to qualify for the six-pack match at WrestleMania. Do you understand that?
No, I don't understand, because in theory, right, so if New Catch Republic and Umberto and Creo are the only two teams, and then they fight and the winner goes on to WrestleMania, they're still short a team.
Yeah, it should be at least two SmackDown teams in that match, shouldn't there?
Yeah, there's supposed to be three Raw teams, the champs, and two SmackDown teams. So who? Yeah, because Wade Barrett was trying to explain it, and I couldn't really understand what. Like, I understood what he was saying about, oh, you know, you're going to have to basically win two matches to get in. But the numbers of how many teams there are just doesn't add up with, especially on Raw, given that three teams qualified.
Yeah.
I don't really understand.
I mean, normally WWE doesn't overcomplicate things. And I just don't understand this at all. I was watching it, I was thinking, am I missing something here?
Yeah. You know,
is it my age or something? But I'm glad it's not just me.
No, it's not just you at all. I did want to just... So the main event of SmackDown was Bayley taking on Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this whole Bayley feud with Damage Control, I just can't get into it. And I don't know if it's a me problem or if it's just that the program's not that hot, but every time there's a part of this story that's supposed to kind of get it to the next level, I feel like it just doesn't, you know, so you're in first gear and you just can't get in second. And, you know, at the end, the fact that when Naomi ran out at the end to kind of even the numbers out, Naomi running down seemed to get more of a reaction than anything Bayley did. And she won the Rumble.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kenny. It's flopping. I mean, this is a bomb. It really is. I mean, you know, Dakota Kai, I understand why she had to do the heel turn, because she's the spokesperson for the rest of Damage Control, so I get all that. But I mean, yeah, Bayley's just not connected with the audience as a face at all. It just hasn't happened. And I think Io kind of seems a little bit lost as well, unfortunately. Presumably, I was, you know, Naomi ran in, and what is it with her offense? Why didn't she just do some forearms or some punches? She runs in, and then her opponents just have to stand there while she does something really complicated and flashy that just takes her ages to set up. It just looks phony. I don't like using the F word, people know, but it just does when she does stuff. So I think people, well, actually, people were chanting EST, weren't they? Because this match, Bayley versus Dakota Kai, ended in the DQ when the rest of Damage Control ended up in the ring and they beat down Bayley. Then Naomi ran out for the save, and then Naomi was beaten down by Damage Control as well. And fans were chanting EST, hoping that Bianca Belair was going to run out and make the save. And it made sense that Bianca did not run out and make the save after what she'd said the previous week, didn't it? So I'm figuring, are we going to have Dakota and the Kabuki Warriors versus, is it going to be Naomi, Bianca, and maybe Jade Cargill, do you think?
Well, I assume that maybe it's going to be the tag titles, Kabuki Warriors against Naomi and Bayley.
You're probably right, actually. Yeah,
That's
you're
where they
probably
do it.
right. It must be that.
But I mean, I could see them doing something where, Dakota is a factor, maybe Jade comes out and does something. And that kind of, it's going to have her be involved, but not have her have to, do too much.
I
Mean,
mean,
God forbid she does much.
I mean, what's going on with Jade? I mean, Royal Rumble, I'm not saying it was a glittering success, but it was okay. It was better than I thought it was going to be, and she hasn't done anything since has she? She's not been involved in a match on TV since.
No, she's been conspicuous by her absence. She did say on social media that, somebody said, why have you not had any wrestling matches? And she's like, 'cause I don't want to. So character-wise, she's very fun, but we'll
I
see.
mean, it's kind of funny, isn't it, that AEW's famous for like signing people to contracts and then not using them. And in this case, I mean, Jade actually was, even though matches were usually really short, she'd wrestle a lot in AEW, but she's done hardly anything in WWE. So it's been a role reversal, hasn't it?
Yeah, she made more. She did more in AEW than she did here. But we'll see. We'll see if she's gonna. I'm still hoping Money in the Bank is her time. But we'll see if she's able. Hey, let's move on to Raw. We opened the show with Jey Uso coming out. He called it Jimmy and Solo because he said he knew they were there. They kind of hopped the barricade, and the fans were really into this. But I've got to say, Finn, still glaring omissions in the story, because Jimmy said here it was Jey's idea to leave the Bloodline, which I think was true, but Jimmy did leave first because Jimmy turned on Roman. Then Jey had to choose who he was going to go with. So then Jey went with Jimmy. Then they beat them at Money in the Bank, and then Jimmy turned on Jey. So it's really not like WWE in one of these big stories, especially in the Triple H era, for it to be quite confusing or to not have it be clear. So I can't really work out whether, I mean, do you think we're going to get more story here, or do you think that this is going to be one of these Cody Rhodes getting attacked by Brock Lesnar things that we're just never really going to get a real answer, and we should just move on from thinking about it?
I think that I don't think we're going to get an explanation. I just can't see it. Unless maybe they do the sit down next week, possibly. But the problem is, as you have repeatedly pointed out, Kenny, there isn't really a logical explanation, is there?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Where is that explanation? It's like, where is it? It's not hiding under rocks somewhere, is it? Or in a cupboard? Or just like you're going to trip over it on the way, to Aldi. I mean, it's just there isn't really an explanation, is there, that can logically, make sense of what occurred, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, Jimmy had accepted Jay's challenge on SmackDown, and then they, had the face-to-face here, And, you know, Jimmy said, you know, he helped Jay. And, you know, Jimmy then complained about Jay abandoning him and going off and winning a world tag team belt with someone else. And, you know, then Jay said that he was going to beat Jimmy at WrestleMania. And there was a big scuffle. And Solo was at ringside. Solo did the distraction. Then Jimmy and Solo beat down Jay. And then Cody Rhodes made the save for Jay. So I think, you know, it's one of those things that, because it was so big last year and it was such a huge storyline, it really is inexcusable that they didn't come up with an explanation for it. I mean, Paul Heyman, did you say, right, Paul, come on, you're the genius. You know, you just come up with an explanation for this. That's your task for this week. And like, you know, Roman Reigns obviously thinks things through. You can tell they do, don't you? You can tell there's a lot of thought goes into everything they do. And yet this is this omission, isn't it? There's been not a whole lot of thought has gone into this. And that's really odd because it was such a big part of the story, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you just, it's strange. I don't really understand. I just don't understand it. It's because everything else is kind of, well, most things, they're building up pretty well and there's enough story to it all. But I mean, because the crowd here, they reacted well to when, because Jay eventually decks him. Because, you know, Jay says that he misses Jimmy, and then Jimmy says that basically, you left me behind, you've had all this success, but it's all because of me. And then, you know, Jay decks him. But I still think this could have an even better level to it if they put the stories. I hope they do a sit-down thing, either next week on Raw or the go-home show, but give us just that extra last bit of oomph to this, because...
Yeah. I mean, they were going on about how this is only like the third brother versus brother match at WrestleMania. So, I mean, that's the way they're going to promote this, isn't it? It was Bret and Owen and the Hardys. We should mention, I believe Matt Hardy was at this Raw in attendance, right, Kenny?
Yeah, he was. He was backstage because his contract's up at AEW. I mean... If both Hardy's contracts were up, I could see the idea of them maybe doing something short term, putting Hardy's in the Hall of Fame or something, but you're not hiring Matt on his own.
No. And the thing is, the way Jeff handled his departure was all wrong. And, you know, they will probably still be smarting over that because the way he handled that was really poor. He just basically quit, didn't he? And it was just like, they had him all lined up. He was going to be doing something with, I think he was even going to have a match with Roman, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was like lots of big plans for him and he just quit after, did he walk through the crowd during a house show? It was something like that, wasn't it? It was very odd. He just sort of quit, didn't he, on the show?
Yeah, he did.
You know, there's obviously been the big incident, the DUI incident, and I'm not saying, you know, I think he appears to have straightened himself out, which is good. But, I mean, we've been here before with Jeff, haven't we? And Matt shouldn't even be in the ring anymore. Let's be honest. He just shouldn't, should he?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the time has passed.
Yeah, but, I mean, the problem is, you know, he's got like four or five kids? He's got four young kids. He possibly needs to keep working for a while.
Well, apparently he is pretty financially wealthy. Like I think he's saved a lot of his money and he's invested it well, which is good. But
yeah, of course it is. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, anyway, we'll see where Matt ends up. We then had DIY taking on the Creed brothers. The winners go on to the ladder match at WrestleMania. This match went about 18 minutes, and you know this was a really hot back and forth match. Creed were really into it. And in the end, you know, Gargano and Ciampa just were able to pip the Creeds to the post and get the win. What did you make of the match?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, neither team was particularly over when they came out. We haven't seen the Creeds for quite some time, actually, on TV. Oh. And this is like Raleigh, North Carolina was always big tag team territory. You know, tag teams had always got off historically in the old Mid-Atlantic. And these guys at Creed's just, I mean, they got over with their power moves here. I mean, fans were so into this match. You could tell that DIY were going to win because Creed's, Brutus and Julius had what must have been 80% plus of the offense, wasn't it? They were all over this match, and they got to do, and because Ciampa and Johnny Gargano were so small, Creed's, you know, and they're obviously really good workers as well. It just meant the Creed's could do all their, you know, power stuff and all their flashy moves, which all makes sense as well. There's nothing too ridiculous in there. There's not too many like tumbling and, you know, world trampolining and gymnastic tournament, you know, type moves that we see. I mean, most of what they do is really quite realistic. So, yeah, I love this match. This was my favourite match on the show. I thought it was so well done. And I was really pleased to see DIY win because, as they point out in commentary, they never had a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, and I think that the Creeds looked so good in defeat. I mean, I do think, you know, post-WrestleMania, there's a lot of people who have just come up to the main roster that need to be featured way more. The Creeds, Bron Breakker, Tiffany Stratton, because they're all ready. So yeah, they should be programmed into stuff right after WrestleMania.
I mean, the fact that the Creed, I mean, both these teams entered this match cold and the fans were so into this match by even just past the midway point because the action was so good. It was so engaging. And yeah, Brutus and Julius here, they had, you know, I'm not saying it was the match of their lives because they had better matches than this in NXT, but this was, you know, a lot of people backstage would have been watching this and saying, these guys have got a big future in this company and we need to reward them because they're that damn good already.
Yeah, for sure. So then we had a segment backstage with Andrade with the Judgment Day, and they basically said they're going to be watching him because, you know, the Judgment Day is an exclusive club, but, you know, he might get in. And that could be something after WrestleMania where maybe Andrade does some stuff with the Judgment Day and that can lead to, you know, Dom having frustrations or stuff. There's ways they can go with it. So it's a nice carrot to dangle for us to see if something comes of it.
Yeah, I mean, for Andrade, I mean, he actually was obviously in that Continental Classic tournament, wasn't he, in AEW? But there's a lot of time when he was in AEW where he wasn't really doing anything. And this is a great gig for him because he's featured, but he doesn't really have to do that much. I mean, he's had, how many matches has he had on Raw? Is it only the one?
Yes. Yeah, it's just this one.
Yeah, and, you know, he looked really good in that. And he doesn't have to say much, but he, you know, he says enough. And this is a very different time for him. And I think in some ways it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Charlotte returns. And are they going to be together on screen? Because that would be an interesting combination, wouldn't it, if they acknowledge their marriage?
Yeah.
So you could probably do some stuff there with Andrade and Charlotte versus Seth and Becky. I know that's, we might not want to enter that territory. Or even Andrade and Charlotte versus Dominic and Rhea Ripley. That actually could be pretty good as well.
Yeah, there's lots of possibilities. So we'll see what they do. Cody Rhodes had his rebuttal to The Rock, where he came out and he had some real zingers for The Rock. And you could tell he was sort of given a bit of carte blanche to say more stuff than WWE wrestlers are allowed to do. And I think that was necessary because Rock is kind of allowed to just say what he wants.
Yeah.
Swear and do whatever. So I think Cody did need to come out here. I mean, my favourite thing was when he said that, you know, what's Rock going to do when the bell rings? You know, would there be Big Dwayne energy or LDS, Little Dick Syndrome? And the crowd popped for a lot of the stuff. Paul Heyman then came out and sort of said that he wanted to invite Cody to SmackDown on behalf of Roman Reigns. And Roman promises it would just be him and Cody, no bloodline, nobody else. So Cody's agreed, but we get the sense that something's afoot and maybe Cody's going to have some secret backup. But I think Cody did here in terms of, it's a tough job, right, to come back at The Rock. How did he do?
Yeah, he did well. I mean, he needed a strong show in here because he'd shown, you know, a lot of vulnerability in the previous week, you know, and obviously it upset Vince Russo and no one wants to do that. Listen, I know what happens. Upset Vince Russo, leaves the Zoom meeting. So Cody came back here. You know, he talked a lot about heels. It's an insider reference. And he said, I don't think Rock's a heel. I think he's an asshole. So that was, you know, that got a big pop and he called Rock a whiny bitch. You know, Rhodes said he didn't know if he was going to finish the story. You know, so I mean, he was honest about that. There wasn't like this sort of bold, yes, I'm going to beat Roman Reigns. And I think that was a different way to approach this. And since there's obviously two matches, he's wrestling twice at WrestleMania weekend, for him to come out and say, yes, I'm going to do this, certainly at this point in the story, in the hype for WrestleMania, it would be too soon for him to say that. And we need, you know, there's two matches there that he's got to win. So we need to, they need to keep us guessing, don't they, Kenny? They don't want to give us too much away because we, as fans, we like to fantasy book this in our own minds. That's a huge part of the enjoyment of pro wrestling or any show, really, that's got storylines in it. So, yeah, he called Rock Roman's side chick. He really, you know, really went for the Rock here. And that was really funny. And then, as you said, Paul Heyman walked out and invited Cody to appear at SmackDown and said Roman will be there by himself, you know. And if does that mean that you're going to come by yourself? And Cody said, deal, I accept. So there's this agreement there that they're just going to be face-to-face, just Roman and just Cody. But then backstage afterwards, Jay went up to Cody and said, do you need some backup at SmackDown, Cody? Because, you know, this is the bloodline and they don't play by the rules. You can't trust them. And Cody was like, well, you know, I'll give him my word. But I don't think Cody's going to be so naive. He's got to realize that he's walking into a trap, Kenny. So yeah. I think he's got some backup to help him out.
Yeah, because Jay Uso later on says, you know, I'm going to come with you. But, you know, Cody's not giving away publicly he's going to bring backup. You've got to assume he's going to bring some to the table. We had Ricochet beat Dom Mysterio in a pretty basic match. The story is that Ricochet's sort of running through the Judgment Day, so he's going to have to be stopped by somebody. Maybe it's Andrade that stops him. Maybe that's what Andrade does to, you know, get the Judgment Day to like him. So
yeah. I mean, Pat McAfee had a really funny line on commentary. He said, if Dom were to have a wedding, he'd probably get booed at his own wedding ceremony or his own wedding breakfast, which is exactly what happened at Dominic's wedding the weekend before last. So I thought that was quite funny. But at least Ricochet got a win here. You know, I've been a big fan of his for a long time, but I've said it to the point where I'm bored of saying it. He needs a character because this character's never going to go any further than this. You know, I want to see him team up with Samantha Irving on screen. Samantha Irving can be Ricochet's personal ring announcer. And if she's got, you know, some heel spirit, I think those two could be a lot of fun as a double act. But hey, I don't know. We will see.
Yeah. We then had Sami Zayn approach Chad Gable backstage and sort of said, you know, great job last week. You know, it was touch and go who's going to win. And Gable seems a bit irritated by him. And he's like, what's wrong? And Gable said, I'm fine. He said, look, I know you. You know, what's wrong? And he said, this match meant more to me than it did to you, and you can't beat Gunther. And then this brings us to Gunther and Sami Zayn doing the contract signing, where Gunther's basically not taking Sami seriously at all. It's starting to annoy Sami. And, you know, Gunther said, you know, you should listen to your new friend, Chad Gable, who doesn't believe you can win either. And then as Gunther goes to leave, Sami Zayn tells him to wait and sort of gets in his face and said, I do believe, look into my eyes and, you know, I'm going to take you down at WrestleMania. And Zayn actually sees Chad again backstage and says, you know, what did you mean when you said that? And Gable said, you know, you're the underdog. You can always come back from anything. That's what you did last week. But Gunther is too good for that. You need more. And you need to change your mindset. Otherwise, you've not got a chance. So they're giving us some story stuff here. And they're sort of trying to flesh out a bit. What do you think of how they're playing it?
I don't really know how this is going to end up. I'm really glad that Chad's still involved here because I feared that after he was beaten last week that he was just going to drop off the radar again. I don't know how this is going to play out. I can usually have a good idea of where stories are going, but this one I can't predict. And, you know, Gable, he said that it meant more to him than it did to Zayn, and that's why he wanted to win that match so he could have faced Gunther at WrestleMania. And then he finally, Zayn had to pray out of him, you know, what's going on here, Chad? Tell me, you know, what's on your mind? What are you really thinking? You can't beat Gunther, Chad told Sami, and Sami's like, what? And then Gunther played on that in the ring when they were doing the contract signing. You know, he said that you know, fans didn't think that Zayn could beat him. Chad Gable didn't think that Zayn could beat Gunter. And then the killer line Gunter said to Sammy was, "Sammy, you don't think, looking in your eyes, I can tell that you don't think that you can beat me." And that was the big one there. That was the big line. And then that led to Sammy's comeback, as you just said, where as Gunter was leaving, he said, "No, I can beat you. I'm going to take you down." And then that led to backstage with Chad and Zayn. And Chad said to Zayn, "Listen, the only way you're going to beat Gunter is if you change your mentality." So it does seem a little bit late in the day for them to start doing training videos, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
It's weird because there's part of you that, when you know, just the kind of, as we usually watch wrestling, we're sort of looking for, is Chad Gable going to be involved in the match? Like, are they going to put him in at the last minute, or is he just there to put doubts to Sami Zayn? I don't really know how it's going to play out, but I am intrigued to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I just can't see Zayn being the one to end this epic reign. And I've said it before, I think it would be a real waste if Gunter, longest reign IC champ ever, I mean, coming up to, what was it, June 2022, wasn't it? Yeah, so it'd be 2 years in June. So I think it would be a waste if Zayn were to beat him.
And I think if it is one-on-one, if it is just Sami Zayn and Gunter, I can see that being one, even if Sami Zayn is sort of slotted in to be the one to defeat him, I could see them changing that the week of the show. I could see them going, you know what? The Chad thing's got a lot to it. Maybe he should be the one to do it. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm hoping, I've been predicting for a while that Sammy's going to do this heel turn. You know, I don't know whether he is. I think he maybe is. I don't know. But I don't want Zayn to be the one to end Gunter's reign, because when Gunter drops that belt, it's going to be a star making or star enhancing moment. And I think Zayn's already a star. I don't think as a face, he's not going any higher than this. He's just not. As a heel, he could, with a new heel character, he could go higher than he is right now. But as a face, he's hit his ceiling. So giving him the belt, I think, would just be, I think that would be cat. I'm not, yeah, I actually think it would be counterproductive. I just don't, I think that would be a big mistake, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see it, but we'll see if they, we'll see what they do in the weeks leading up.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I'm on board with this as well. I'm fascinated to see where it goes.
Yeah, it's, we'll see. We then had R-Truth and Miz against Indus Share in a qualifier for the WrestleMania match. We actually had a really cool way they filmed it, where they had Sammy leaving after his contract signing, and then it followed him right through Gorilla, right through to the back, and then as he passed Miz and Truth, then they started talking. I mean, Kevin Dunn is gone, Finn. We can tell. Interesting things are happening with the cameras. He's gone.
I like a lot of the stuff they do, you know, with them showing people, you know, arriving at the arena. And just different things, different camera angles, you know, and different information that they're putting out. And it's got more of a sports feel to it. And just, we haven't got all those awful cuts that Kevin Dunn used to bombard us with. And and different things are happening that are more interesting. So, I think this change, this production change has been a change for the better.
The R-Truth and Miz against in the share match. If you're someone who enjoys Awesome Truth and you're wondering, why is it not just one-on-one, you know, Judgment Day against R-Truth and Miz, this match is why. I mean, these guys, my God. Like, you know, if you ever think that WWE, you don't need to be good wrestlers, watch this. You do. You need to be good. You need to be a certain level to be taken seriously. And they just don't have it. You know, they just don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, Indus Share are a big team who aren't very good, and they're kind of pretty, you know, bad opponents for almost anyone, kind of like the Authors of Pain, aren't they? These massive guys.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's only so much you can do with them, and Awesome Truth won on a total fluke here. So, I mean, at least, I don't know what you're protecting with Indus Share, because, I mean, it's not like they're ever going to be stars, is it? So, you know, but I mean, I suppose it would have looked ridiculous if Miz and R-Truth had scored like a clean win when they're kind of a comedy team. So I do understand the reasons that they booked the match in the way they did. And it didn't last very long. So let's be thankful for that, Kenny.
And then the last two things to talk about. Well, the New Day also qualified. There's not really much to say they qualified. They're still dull. Yeah. You know, they still don't have anything to offer.
They beat Pure Otis and Akira Tozawa.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so we had Drew McIntyre come out to a promo. He was interrupted by Seth Rollins before he could even get to the ring. They did announce on this show that CM Punk will be returning next week on Raw from Chicago. So McIntyre and Rollins went back and forth. And the whole crux of this was Rollins says, you know, I'm a spotlight junkie, but, you know, look at you. And, you know, and Rollins goes on about all this stuff, WrestleMania, what it means, all the different elements of it. And Drew's like, you know, why do you need to make this about The Rock and about the biggest star in Hollywood? Why can't it be about me and you and the world title? You know, this is why I've tried to get through to you so many times. I'm not going to bother myself with it anymore. And in the end, McIntyre says, you know, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to take that title. And Rollins then sort of says, you know, yeah, you won the title in 2020 in an empty warehouse, but you've been whining and complaining ever since. You flubbed it when the crowds came back. And, you know, he said that, you know, you're going to find it that when the lights shine brightest, you're not as good as you think you are. And he dropped the mic. And I mean, it's a shame. This, I almost wish this had been the go-home promo for the two of them, because this was really good. But I guess, do you think Punk's going to be involved in their match somehow?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine we know CM Punk's going to be there next week, and then Rock's going to be on Raw the week after. That's been announced from Brooklyn. So that should be, you know, the next two Raws are already looking blockbuster. And this is the thing that WWE is doing so well here. They're not doing too much. I think the pacing of everything in the run-up to WrestleMania has been so well done this year. We always forget, don't we? Remember WrestleMania 17, you know, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And the hype for Rock Austin was lousy. Do you remember that, Kenny, with Deborah involved? And then she was subtracted from it at the, you know, late hour of the day. And
it was Rock's manager.
It was a real mess was the hype for that show. People forget that. And I think this has been really well done. And Drew McIntyre is just no-selling Seth Rollins. He's saying, you know, do what you want. After Mania, the spotlight's mine. And then they're talking about being spotlight junkies. And Drew said that Rollins has become a parody of himself. And yeah, I mean, Drew's got to win. He's got to win the belt at WrestleMania because it just feels like it's his time. And if he doesn't win the belt, I'm not sure what he's going to do, except for probably leave. We still don't know whether he's signed a new contract. Presumably he has. I don't know that for a fact yet. But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, just it does feel like, wow, this was kind of the go-home promo. But Punk can be involved next week. We can have Drew versus Punk in Chicago. That could be pretty good.
I don't think this is what's going to happen, but it's in the back of my mind. I wonder if Punk is the referee. Because they're hyping that he's back. He said on this show, you can't have a WrestleMania without CM Punk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the bells and whistles WrestleMania. So, you know, if he's in there, it does add an element of he doesn't go on with either guy.
He could be second ref, couldn't he? Yeah. And do the final count. He doesn't want to be doing too much activity with his arm being in the shape that it's in.
But he could do the Muhammad Ali role, the outside second.
Yeah, he could do that. Referee gets knocked down. He goes in and counts the three. So, yeah, he can do that for sure. And he said, yeah, you know, what's the first four letters of Philadelphia? Phil, you can't have WrestleMania in Philadelphia without Phil. So he was there doing his, you know, physical rehab in the gym, wasn't he? So, maybe something like that will happen. I hope so, because it'll add an extra dimension to the match. And Drew's looking a little bit too cocky, isn't he, at the moment, Kenny? He's looking a little bit too confident. And if CM Punk's stationed at ringside, that will, you know, wipe that smug smile off his face.
And then the last thing to talk about for Raw, and, you know, obviously next week we will be talking about Punk returning, and we'll kind of know what he's doing. And also The Rock is going to be on Raw in 2 weeks, where I'm going to be at that Raw thing in Brooklyn. And Punk has actually been locally advertised for that Raw as well, which is what makes me think that he's doing something. Becky Lynch and Nia Jax in a last women standing match closed the show. As expected, Becky Lynch won in the end, but Nia still was kind of protected. And Rhea and Becky did a face-off at the end. What did you make to the match? And did this do enough to give Becky the big win leading into Mania?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, there was, you know, one of the tables was misbehaving, wasn't it, early in the match? It just kept falling down. That was quite funny. And there was, you know, the chairs and kendo sticks and lots of props. I mean, in the end, you know, they're on the apron and Becky nails Jax with the manhandle slam off the apron through a table. And that was a big pop. And we thought that was the finish. And Nia just beat the 10 count. And then a ladder was set up by the announce table. And Becky leg dropped Nia on the back of her head off the ladder as Nia's lying on the announce table. Smash, the table collapses. And Nia fails to beat the count. And Becky won convincingly. So I think it delivered everything that people would have expected from this type of match. And of course, we had Rhea. She came out afterwards and did the little square off there with Becky. Rhea hasn't really been doing much in the way of wrestling, has she? Have we seen her wrestle since Elimination Chamber, Kenny? I don't think we have we?
No, she's not. So, I mean, maybe she's got some niggling stuff, and if she has, let her rest. I mean, I think it's... The good thing is, I think with Becky and Rhea, the match basically sells itself.
Yeah.
You know, the story they've had for months is that Becky couldn't win anything. Now she won the chamber. Now she's beaten Nia, which Rhea also did at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So, yeah, I think the story's there, and I think they'll have a... Maybe they'll have a little pull-apart on the go-home show. I could see that happening, where there's something with them. But they've been smart to not give us that too soon. Because if they start, you know, brawling 3 weeks before, then there's nowhere left to go. So, like you said, to your point about the pacing, they've been pacing it pretty well. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought Becky Lynch took a lot of risks here. And, you know, I thought the match, given the size difference between them, there was points that where you could see that Nia was really taking it easy with the chair shots. But mostly it looked pretty good. You know, on the big spots at the end, I thought the psychology of it all was great with the, you know, you got that big manhandle slam spot. It's like, wow, can they top this? Yes, they can with this move. And like the, you know, the finisher, the match winner was the biggest move in the match, as it should be. A, you know, last move should be the biggest thing that anyone does in the match and the most memorable moment of the match. And I thought that was really well done. And, you know, Nia, to her credit, you know, she put Rhea over. She put Becky Lynch over here. And, you know, I think her return, I think she's shown a, you know, a lot of people sort of were saying, oh, God, when she came back last year. Not Nia Jax. And I think she's proven herself to be a team player. And I think she's really been very helpful to lots of stories and lots of people. So, you know, let's just recognize what Nia Jax has done for WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, she's been a big help for Rhea and Becky. Well, yeah. Listen, that's all the time we've got for today. We'll be back on Thursday with PowerSlam, as always, where there'll be news to talk about, as there always is. And then the overrun at the weekend with the Hall of Fame 2004 class. So lots to come. And you can obviously pre-order the new issue of The Mag, which comes out next Thursday, the 28th of March. It's 28th, right? I've got that date right.
28th of March. That's the one.
InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. You can pick that up. Limited qualities. We really are getting down to limited quantities of the PowerSlam yearbook 1994. So if you want to pick one up, well, you still can. PowerSlamMagazine.com. We're always doing stuff. And Patreon, if you like our podcast, you want us to keep doing them, keeps the lights on to give us a wee pledge over on Patreon at patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. And we've got content out pretty much every day. So if you're in need of more, just like all the wrestling companies, we want to give you more you can probably handle. So
yes.
I know some people get night shifts and commutes and stuff, so at least it gives you more stuff to listen to. So
definitely, absolutely. And I can tell you, we are working on that next yearbook. We are on it. So so won't be that. I'm not going to say when it's the next one's out, because I actually don't know yet. Even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you, but I don't know exactly when it's going to be out yet, but we are working on it now. So it shouldn't be that much longer to wait.
No. So yeah, well, thank you for all your support, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.